This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Dr. Judy Cook, welcoming you to Shrink Wrapped, where you can begin to shrink away some of your problems and find some of the wonderful rapture in this universe. I am so delighted today to have as my guest, Rebecca Pott-Fitton, who is the author of Wave Rider, A Poetic Journey from Abuse to Wholeness. Rebecca has written this as a part of her journey away from very early childhood sexual abuse. And it's important for us to know that in spite of that, she's a woman who achieved a very wonderful professional career. She had a college degree from Cuyahoga College and then got an MA in international relations and pursued that career for a while. And then got her MBA and worked intensely in healthcare in Ohio, which is not very surprising for people who undergo psychological trauma as they turn around and try to help other people go through the journey that they have survived themselves and pass on those lessons. So, Rebecca, I found that your book was very interesting and very revealing, even though the amount of stuff that you wrote was rather sparse, and most of what you put was into your poems. And I find myself wanting to read a whole lot more about what you've done. And I would recommend immediately to everybody after this interview that you also go to Rebecca's website, which is Rebecca Pott-Fitton, and go to her YouTube video about this whole situation because it's, again, very informative. So, Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Judy.
So looking forward to this. So this is part of your healing journey, and what really got you started recognizing that you had this problem and that you needed to get help?
Well, the problem that I recognized that I had in my childhood and also adulthood was that I was fearlessly anxious and depressed. And it was destabilizing, and at oftentimes I just froze. I couldn't respond. When there was my sexual abuse, I remember watching the scene from the ceiling, and my emotions separated from the rest of me, and it took me decades to reincorporate those emotions. So it was a hard life just living in your head.
Did you also for a while separate from your memories of your childhood, or were they always there?
I have almost no memory of my childhood.
And I'm sure you know that's very typical.
Right. So that's just the way it is. And in fact, for a lot of my adulthood, I don't have any memory. So I think living in the moment is what I need to do.
I noticed you mentioned that you also lived in your head a lot, at least until you got to Santa Fe.
Right.
As a way of probably avoiding and compensating.
Well, it's how I negotiated my life. I was lucky enough to get an education. I was lucky enough to have some successful careers. And that's how I felt as if I had some control over my life. And I was successful in that area. But I was dramatically unsuccessful in any emotional relationships.
So Tell me about that, and let's start actually with your childhood and the memories you have of that, your family breaking up and living with your uncle and that whole course of events.
Be happy to. When I was 1 and a half, my father left my mother and me, and by the time I was 2, we went to live with my aunt and uncle and 3 cousins. And we were there for 3 years, and I'm sure it was more than they had expected when we got the invitation. But what I learned years later is that it was my uncle who had sexually abused me. I have always remembered that flying to the ceiling scene, but my story was that I walked in on him, and it was my fault. And years later, I realized I did not walk on it, in on him. He called me at the age of 2, and so it started. And there were a number of encounters, and it truly affected all of my life. The first thing that's noticeable is that I have halting speech, and if you think it's halting now, a long time ago it was way worse. And so it was a difficult journey. I had lots of challenges with anxiety and depression, and just feeling as if I didn't belong. And I know a lot of children feel that way, and I did too.
Absolutely. It's a very, very tough feeling. So you finally got out of there when you were about 5.
Correct.
And how did that happen?
My mother remarried, and so we moved to our own apartment and then house, and along came my brother and sister. And again, it was while the ethos of the family is that we were one family, I didn't feel that way. I always felt that I was the odd one out. And so that's just how I felt. And so my mother and her fa and my father did the best they can. They did really well in terms of providing, shelter and food, but there wasn't the nurturing, the love, the bonding that really makes children thrive.
Were there any problems with your stepfather? Because those are frequently perpetrators as well.
No. He was very strict and stern, but he never violated me in any way.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, I was lucky.
Now, you mentioned somewhere that your mother, I think, basically totally rejected you, maybe kicked you out of the house or something. What was that about?
Well, it was actually, it was at the time when I was finishing my first master's degree, and I was going to school at the University of Delaware and living, in a room. And then the room was not available for the summer when I was going to write my thesis. And so she came over one day and said, "You cannot come home." And so I didn't. I never did again. And so actually, I went back to my aunt and uncles. And stayed there for the summer, wrote my thesis, and then got a job in an apartment.
Wow. Now, your family wasn't very affluent, so how did you manage to go to college?
Well, for college, I was very lucky. My grandfather paid for my education.
Wow.
And then for my master's degree, I got a scholarship at the University of Delaware. And then for my MBA, I pulled out my retirement funds and paid for it that way.
Good for you. So you had a lot of determination to move on from that life that had messed you up.
Yes.
I
did it the only way I could, which was through education, through work, until finally that didn't work anymore.
As you were going through this education and your work, you must have gotten some sense of some of these abusive things, not just sexual, but other, that a lot of people go through in life. How did that impact you?
Well, I never talked very much about my life, and now I know why. Because there wasn't anything good to talk, particularly good for me to talk about.
Okay.
And so I didn't share really with anybody about my life and the difficulties I was feeling. Because it was, I should just, handle it. Or everybody must feel this way. Mm-hmm. And nobody was feeling this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just worked hard at whatever I did and plowed right through.
Okay. We both realize that relationships are a big issue for people who have been abused and even for people who are depressed. In addition, just for educational purposes, most people who've been abused go to one extreme or the other. They're either hypersexual or they almost become a nun, either of which really kind of interferes with their relationships, but so does the mood stuff. And you've mentioned that you had problems with your relationships, so tell me a bit about that.
Well, my relationships, because I didn't know how broken I was, my relationships were always superficial, and I also attracted people who were not helpful for me.
Okay.
They were, while none of them was physically abusive, I think they were all mentally or emotionally abusive. So I just attracted what I was used to.
So then you went through two divorces.
Yes.
And then you married Richard. Was he your third husband?
Yes, he was.
And how long were you married to him?
I was married to him for 3 years, just over 3 years, and then he died suddenly.
Was that a good enough relationship that was really stressful for you too?
Well, it was stressful, but it was my best relationship.
Okay.
And I had also done more self-help work and more therapy than with the other two.
So when did you actually start into any kind of therapy and why?
Well, I started when I was about 40, and I started when I knew I was going to I needed to leave my second husband because it was just so emotionally distressing for me. And so that popped me right into therapy. And then the journey began. And it began by saying, this is what's going on. This is the problem. And then, pretty clearly you need to look at yourself rather than others. And the hard work began.
Darn these therapists that tell you got to look at yourself, huh? But
Right.
that is where the journey is. So, when did you start recognizing in that process that something bad had happened in your childhood?
Well, my first psychologist at one time said to me, something happened before you could speak, and it was very serious. And I don't expect, and I don't think that it's to your best interest that you find out what that is. And so that was like a big key. I mean, I'd been talking about all kinds of things, but he clearly thought that there was an underpinning. And so, as I moved to my next therapist, who actually specializes in trauma, that was the mouse hole we went down.
Okay. And so by that time, you had been prepared a bit, and I bet we're more ready to work on that.
Yes, but it still took a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it's a lifetime journey.
Yes, I know that.
You're going to continue learning until the day you die.
Yes.
And you may still uncover some things that you didn't know were there and maybe even wish weren't there. So welcome to that world. But it's so much better to learn it and grow than to keep it stuffed down and really hurting you. I'm just curious, did your depression ever get so bad that you felt suicidal?
No.
That's good because that
I
often happens.
would. I went through a long period when, all I could put on were, jeans and sweatshirts, and slept most of my life, but I never felt suicidal.
That's a real blessing. Let's take a brief break and then we will be back. We are interviewing Rebecca Potvitten, author of Wave Rider. And when we come back, we will have more discussion of her journey through therapy into wellness and to where she's going in the future.
You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network. I'm Sandra Yancey, CEO and founder of eWomen Network. We invite you to listen to all of our EWN podcast hosts at ewnpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Shrink Wrapped, where we will continue our exciting journey with Rebecca Potvitten, author of Wave Rider. Looking back, do you wish you'd figured out enough to get into therapy earlier?
Well, yes, I do, but I just can't have any regrets about that because, things happen when they happen.
Yes.
And, when you're ready, the teacher will come.
Absolutely. So you got into therapy, and then I guess you got married yet again. So tell me about that journey as you were going through therapy and just some of the things that you uncovered and learned that were important to you besides that rat hole of realizing that you had been abused?
Well, I realized that my mother did not treat me well. I realized that she never bonded with me, and in fact, she was incapable of bonding with any of us.
Okay.
And my sister still suffers from that. And my brother was able to find a surrogate in our next-door neighbor who was a college student when he was born. And so when he came home from the hospital, he landed on her chest and stayed there. So
wow.
He bonded with her and has been able to live a pretty reasonable life.
Okay.
So I learned things about, you know, my parents and why and how I did things so that I could understand what, you know, precipitated certain decisions and actions on my part. And it was really helpful. And I felt that the experience was a spiral, like you talk for a while and you uncover some ahas, and then you sort of plateau for a while, and then you start spiraling again. And so it was not a linear progression for me. I'm not sure it's a linear progression for anybody.
It's not.
But so there was a cycle and there was a rhythm.
Have you had the opportunity yet to look at your mother's dynamics and how she got to where she was?
Yes, I have. And, you know, I don't have any, you know, animosity or any ill feelings toward her. I just don't have any feelings toward her.
And that's understandable. I just know even from my own experience that when I was able to look back at my parents and how they grew up, it gave me a lot of understanding about how they did what they did or didn't do with
right.
me because of all of that. And I know that one of the things that's very common in someone who's been abused that is in some way a pass down. Was there any of that for your mother?
I'm sorry.
In her family? That somehow there was abuse to, you know, parent. I mean, it was her brother that abused you, right?
Her brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So
I don't know if she were sexually abused. I do know she had difficulty as a child with physical illness. So that's about all I can say.
Now, you went on from these unsuccessful marriages, and was it between your marriages that you went on and got your MBA, or did you do that? When did you do that?
I did that before.
Okay. And when did you marry Richard, and how did things go at that point?
I married Richard in 2000, and actually things went pretty well. We built a home, and I was in the best relationship I had ever been. You know, there were still stresses and strains, but it was the best I had ever been in.
So that therapy was paying off and helping you get into a better relationship and navigate better?
Yes.
And I understand that his death was yet another, I guess, lightning strike to get you to move on even further to the next step. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes. Richard died suddenly and unexpectedly. And we had gone out for breakfast, and he wasn't feeling really well. And so he thought he would just go in and take a nap. And he did, and he never woke up. And when I went in to wake him, he was gone.
That had to be quite a shock.
That was a huge shock. And it was his leaving, but also for me, it was like the leaving of all the men in my life. And so there was a lot wrapped up in that.
And that
I was clearly in crisis. I went immediately to my psychologist, and that's the time when I really started multiple disciplines for healing. Massage therapy, energy work, chiropractic. I worked with a medical intuitive. So I really had a broad range of helpers.
Did you start that when you were still in Ohio or after you went to
Yes.
Santa Fe? Okay. So what happened that you wound up going to Santa Fe and then deciding to move there?
Well, I had gone to Santa Fe 2 years prior to my moving, and I just really loved the city. It's at human scale. There's nothing quite like it. The buildings are all adobe. They're, except for just a few, they're no higher than two stories. So they're at human scale, and you feel really close to the earth here. Huh. And so one weekend, I was supposed to go to a board meeting, and I decided I don't want to go to this board meeting, and I want to go to Santa Fe. And so I got on a plane, and then I found a house that I am living in now. And it took me 24 hours to figure out I didn't have to move, wait to move. I could move now. And part of the decision to move and the timing was that I was caregiving for my mother. I had been caregiving for her for 2 years in Ohio, and then I did for 3 years here in Santa Fe.
Wow. That must have been tough for you with the relationship that you had.
Yes, it was very tough. But I felt as if it was my responsibility.
And has she passed on now?
Yes, she has.
Okay. And are you at peace with that?
Yes.
Good. Good. So did you try another whole array of therapies when you went to Santa Fe?
You betcha.
Okay.
The healing community is quite extensive here. And it was actually my MD who suggested that I see a psychologist here. And she worked with me for a few months, not very long. And then she said, I can't do anything more with you. And she did EMDR and all the stuff. And she said, but this is who I think you ought to see. And so that's how the progression of my healers came to be. And I have, I don't have a guru healer.
Uh-huh.
I have just had multiple healers that come in with the right gifts at the right time for my journey.
That's wonderful. And yeah. it's good for people to realize that sometimes they need different kinds of therapy or multiple kinds of therapy sometimes at the same time.
Right.
Did you do some body work as well when you were doing
all that? Oh, yes. I have quite spectacular massage therapist.
Okay. And what did that help loosen up for you?
Well, because our bodies capture everything that we do, my body had captured my trauma. And so it was part of the releasing. And I don't think that just having therapy, you know, talk therapy, would have put me in the same place if I had not done physical work. And because it's just caught in your body. And so it was really helpful.
It can really help suddenly break loose things and kind of open the floodgates to work on
yes.
more stuff.
Yes.
So you got into your expressive stuff, your writing poetry, after you went to Santa Fe. Is that right?
That's correct. I was here for about a year, and then all of a sudden I started writing poetry. Now, I had written, you know, documents and reports, but I had never done any creative writing. And I wrote when the poems came to me, and most of them came in the middle of the night.
Wow.
So I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write a book. You know, I did everything kind of backwards. I just started to write the poems, and then I put the poems away for about a year. And finally, I made the realization that my poetry really does capture my journey. And so I started to organize it as it came out in the book into four different sections, and so that there you could find a storyline. And then I found a publisher, and he suggested that, you know, I write a prose introduction to each of the sections, and I did, and the book came together. But there was never any intent to write a book. And the important decision for me in my healing process was to realize that I had successfully taken this journey, and that it would be helpful to others to know that they are not alone, and that many people have difficult journeys because of trauma, and it could be any kind of trauma, and that this would be a success story, that they could find healing for themselves.
Light at the end of the tunnel, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell people how you came upon the title of Wave Rider.
I had written a poem called Wave Rider, and as I was organizing my book, I had a couple of titles before that. But then when I was organizing my book, I really felt as if the poem Wave Rider succinctly defined my journey better than any other of the poems. And so it went from a title of a poem to the title of my book.
And give a little bit more of that description that you gave, because you gave a very eloquent description on the YouTube video of what it represented for you.
Well, I think that, you know, we're kind of always tottering, and that the waves symbolize that you can be taken down, but you can also be brought up. And it was just a really fine metaphor for my journey, because, as I had said before, it was never linear. And I think everybody in life has ups and downs. Uh-huh. And so that's why the wave just was very important for me. Would you like me to read the poem?
Sure.
Okay. Wave Rider. I ride the crest of the wave of the new earth. The waters of Gaia are her blood, and I taste her sacrament. I ride the wave of my own recreation, challenging my assumptions and beliefs of who I am. My rote behavior and automatic responses transform into reflection and new choices. My spirit knows freedom. I am not who I have been. I don't know who I will be, other than the wave rider alive on the edge of the new earth.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Really succinct. Speaking about your journey, I'm curious, are you considering writing a longer prose autobiographical work? Because as I'm seeing and hearing your history, I think that would be also extremely helpful to people.
Well, I do. I have been told by those who know more than I, that I will be writing at least one more book, maybe two. And so I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it will be. I do not think it will be poetry. Uh-huh. But how that might come about in terms of, you know, my life journey, I just don't know at this time. But I do know I'll be writing.
Yeah, you write very beautifully. You put a lot of stuff very succinctly, but you write beautifully. You really express what you've gone through beautifully. And I think it's just so, so important that people be educated about the experience, the feelings, the process, the hope on the other end. And all the ways we can do that are just so, so important. So I really, really encourage you to do that. You just have so much to offer. I noticed that you are getting out and doing some speaking. Tell me about that.
Well, I've had a couple of engagements here in Santa Fe, but since times have changed, most of my interviews have been on podcasts like this one. Uh-huh. And so it's a new world. So, it's easier than, you know, traveling around the country. And so this works for me really well.
I bet you'd be willing to travel a bit as well if you've got a proper opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now you're also doing some blogs on your website, and I think that's another wonderful way that you can help people and teach them.
Right.
I noticed that you were mentioning that with all you've done in Santa Fe, you're ready now to return to Pennsylvania, is it, and be with family?
Yes. I will, the reason I am leaving Santa Fe is because of the elevation. Santa Fe is at 7,000 feet, and the air is light and it is dry. And I have been here 9 years, but this year has been particularly difficult for me to get a full breath. And so over the 4th of July weekend, I went back east, and sure enough, I could breathe. So that did not take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so I have sold my house, and I will be moving in 3 weeks, and I will be about a half hour from my hometown, and I'll have cousins around, and my sister won't be too far away.
And so you're looking forward to being back there with them?
Yes, I am. And Santa Fe has just been fabulous for me in terms of finally in my life being able to have very deep, profound friendships with many people. And it just feels so good for me here. But I need to take care of my breath.
Just as an aside, with you having that onset of intolerance to altitude in the air, have you had your thyroid checked of late?
Yes.
And it's okay?
Yes.
All right, because that can cause that issue for some people. So let's sum up with you kind of summarizing what is the most important message that you would like to get out to people about this whole experience.
Well, there are actually two most important points. The first is that healing is a journey, and as you said earlier, it takes your whole life. And so, you know, not to be concerned, you know, if you don't find a magic bullet, because there are no magic bullets.
Why is that ever the truth?
But, and for me, what was most important was when I learned that I could only heal myself, that I had to be 100% in the process. And while I talked with therapists, while I had massage, I knew that I would not heal unless I took charge of the journey. And I did, and I'm glad I did.
You mentioned that it helped you get out of the victim mode.
Right.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, at least in this culture, there's a lot of blaming of others. And so that's just kind of what we do. But while things happen to us, it's really our response to whatever happens to us that creates the person we are. And so eventually, if you're on this journey long enough and sincere enough, and you take responsibility for your healing, then you really aren't a victim. And that excuse disappears.
And that
everything
is
shifts.
Such a wonderful lesson. When you learn to accept yourself for who you are and accept others for who they are and that they do because they're them, not because you're you, it makes it much easier to be at peace with yourself and at peace with the world, and that's so much better a place to be, and you become a victim no more.
That's correct.
So congratulations on your journey.
Thank you so much.
Both in the past and from here. It's been a tremendous delight talking to you. And I certainly wish you well on your journey from here, and I hope you will keep me posted on what you're doing as you move along with your other writings.
Thank you so much, and I'll let you know when the book's published.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. This is Dr. Judy Cook. If you wish to contact me or access more of my information, go to www.godrjudy.com. For now, this is Shrink Wrapped signing off and wishing you a wonderful, rapturous day.
Thanks for listening. This is the EWN Podcast Network. I'm Sandra Yancey, CEO and founder of eWomen Network. We invite you to listen to all of our EWN podcast hosts at ewnpodcastnetwork.com.